dangling the gap, extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your force. Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Jiu Jitsu Geeks podcast. This is our ET. What episode is it? Six?
This is episode six.
Yeah, I've heard from other podcasts that once you start doing it, it gets hard to keep track of what number it is. And that's true, actually, because right. We're on six and I have no clue where we're at.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but I'm obviously joined by my usual co-host, Charles Slade, ET. And today we have with us Jimmy Yaks. And Jimmy is has some just a little bit of a jiu-jitsu background. I'm joking. You'll find out in a minute. And also a background in yoga and surfing. So he's a good friend of ours, and we're very happy and lucky to have him with such a deep background in all three of those topics.
Definitely.
Thanks for coming, Jimmy.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Absolutely. And I've been looking forward to getting together with you guys and just talking about what it is that I love to do so much.
Yeah,
It's really an amazing thing to combine the yoga arts and the martial arts. And,
yes.
And the surfing is just something that falls right in line with that and really was something I found first, you know, before the yoga or martial arts. So,
well, let's get into all that. But first, let's tell us about your jiu-jitsu background.
Well, I've been training with Gustavo Machado. He was my first jiu-jitsu instructor and my only instructor that I've had, you know, since I've started. My brothers and I were doing some mixed martial arts and a lot of combative forms. And
under Paul Vunak, right?
Under Paul Vunak initially, yeah. And he had an instructor in Virginia Beach. And we started training with this guy. His name is John Davis. And he had Full Spectrum Combat Academy. And Paul Vunak was Progressive Fighting Systems out of California. And so we started getting involved with that kind of combative form of martial arts, which is really just like straight to the point self-defense, you know, headbutts, knees, elbows, clinch fighting, studying the ranges of fighting, weapons fighting, you know, and so we were fortunate enough to have Gustavo land in Virginia Beach, you know, originally landed in Norfolk straight from Brazil and didn't have a place to live and got taken in by a fraternity guys and, you know, just...
What year was that?
That was probably 98, 99, I think, is when he first came to the States. But he showed up with his gi, you know, $100 in his pocket, nowhere to live, sleeping on the bench out at Old Dominion, and just really fascinating story. Washed dishes, the whole thing, but then started teaching jiu-jitsu and just developed and evolved to where he is at this point. But one of the guys that we were training the mixed martial arts with introduced us to Gustavo, and my brother John, always taking the lead, was the first one to go, and then Chris and I, you know, followed right after. And right away, I mean, Gustavo is just an open book. He is just a phenomenal teacher and a good friend at this point too. But you know, my body just was getting beaten up so much. The jiu-jitsu was really the arts that we all stayed with. A lot of the other combative form kind of fell by the wayside, still there and maybe come back to it sometime. But the yoga really took over with that. You know, my brothers are teaching and building these studios and getting involved with that so extensively that the jiu-jitsu, and we're in the same parking lot, my Virginia Beach studio is Gustavo. So that made it really simple too. But to keep up with that part of it, I just love the art form of it. You know, I love the chess match. I love the complexity that's involved with that. And and Gustavo is a phenomenal teacher. So we're just so fortunate to be a part of that. So it's been a little over 10 years. I think 2000 is when I first got introduced to the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu ground stuff. And so it was just, I guess you guys were here too. I think it was October.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. October when Gordo was here, Top Game Academy, and with Gustavo, and then he gave me my black belt, which was just an incredible day, you know, also for all the time and effort that's been put into it. You know, it's a humbling honor to receive that, you know, because you put, as you guys both know, put so much time and effort and energy into it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's just the beginning. It's by no means an end. It really is a feeling of now I'm starting again.
Right.
And I think you feel that with every belt, but even at that black belt, there's no striving for the next color anymore.
Yeah.
And I also just, at some point in the yoga helped me to do this, was just to stop worrying so much about, am I there? Am I getting better? Am I going to get my next belt? Am I going to continue to advance? You know, to drop that side of, you know, is that my main focus, really just has kept me enjoying it so much more.
You know,
just staying involved to be involved, but without, you know, worrying. What's the next thing? Am I going to be able to tap the next guy out?
Yeah.
Whatever. None of that even matters anymore. It's just camaraderie, friendship, you know.
Right.
The other aspects of jiu-jitsu that we all love. Yeah. And I was there. You were the first person that I was at the academy to see a black belt.
Same here.
Yeah, I've been with two instructors. My last instructor got his black belt while I was training with him, but he went down to Atlanta and got it. Henzo was down there and got it there. And then Chris got it. I just
couldn't make it to that one.
I think I was out of town too, so it was an honor to be there for it and to know you since I've started training with Gustavo. So it was an awesome way to be there.
I totally agree.
Yeah, it was
an honor for me completely. You know.
Yeah. Well, on top of all that, your accomplishments in jiu-jitsu, you also run a yoga academy. You have several yoga schools.
Yeah, studios, schools, lots of different names.
Yeah, right.
You know,
and Hot House Yoga was just open here in Richmond.
Where are the other locations?
We have one in Virginia Beach, in the exact same shopping center as Gustavo, and so that's really great. And then we have one in Norfolk, Virginia, in the Ghent area, and so you know, it's my entire family's involved. There's seven brothers and sisters, and then our wives and significant others are all involved to some degree. And my dad's painted all the murals. He's an artist, painted the murals on the walls. And
my mom
practices. Oh, that's interesting. You know, my mom's going to do her teacher training.
Yeah.
So it's really all inclusive as far as the family goes. But the yoga, my sister Sarah really has been practicing longer than any of us. And she always said, hey, you guys are always beating each other up all the time. You really ought to do this yoga stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we just, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But then a hot yoga studio opened in Virginia Beach and we started going. And my brother got certified to teach, and then my sister and my brother, Chris. And and so they were really running this studio for the woman. And she ended up wanting to sell it, and we couldn't come to any agreement on it. So June 2005, we opened Hot House.
Okay.
Right.
And we just haven't looked back really since. I wasn't really involved day-to-day operations when we first opened. My brother, John, and Chris, and sister Sarah, and one other person ran the studio for a couple of years. It's all they did. And I was building houses and, you know, whatever else to make money.
Yeah.
But then when we decided to open the other studio in Norfolk, we did that build out, and then I essentially gave myself a job to manage the studios.
Uh-huh.
So that was right when the building was, you know, falling off and everybody was losing their jobs. So I kind of transitioned real easy into that, and it's been great. You know, I do all the build outs because I have a background in that. So
yeah,
that's why I came to Richmond initially to build the studio and then start it and put people in place and help train everybody.
Yeah. And that helps because all the schools that I've seen, the Richmond and the Virginia Beach one, and just, I mean, anyone who's ever that I've known has ever gotten in there, that's usually their first or second comment. You know, how nice and how great they look inside. So it's good that, you know, someone who's so involved with it also does the,
it makes a huge difference.
I didn't know that until just now, but you can tell.
It makes a huge difference, you know. Right. I mean, we pay such attention to detail.
Yes.
And that starts in the building of it, and it you know, goes right on through into the teaching of it, the attention to detail and how we do things.
Well, the way you have things laid out, Jimmy, as soon as I walk in, I'm like, yoga mindset.
Yes.
Even when you scan it, it's just everything is laid out. And just almost a feng shui type, you know, yoga mindset.
Form follows function, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the deal. And so you decide what the function is and then create the form behind it, right? So that's design 101, you know. And we just go through with that mindset. And having done the third one now, we have a much greater understanding of the flow of things. And you always look at it as, at the busiest, how are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
When it's slow, it's easy. But if you're really busy, how does this all move and operate? And we do a really good job of handling a lot of volume and people and taking care of people, too.
Well, besides the facilities, which are great, what separates, because you have your own teaching program also, right?
Yeah, we sure do.
And also your own school. So what separates the teachers that come out of your program and also, you know, the classes that then they go on? Teach, obviously. What's the difference between that and other forms of yoga?
Well, You know, I always tell people yoga is like martial arts. It has its lineage, you know, and you can trace it back in whatever direction, and then it takes on its own form, and teachers create their own thing. So, you know, Hot House is kind of that way, the way we teach, what we teach our teachers to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Our background was Jeet Kune Do concepts. That's Bruce Lee, you know. He's saying study lots of different things and really understand and pull what's useful and functional, and, you know, every body type's different, so do attribute training and that type of thing. That was martial arts. And we looked at the yoga the exact same way.
Right.
There's lots of great styles out there that bring in so many wonderful things, alignment principles and, you know, muscular energy and organic energy principles and what all that means. So,
mm-hmm.
And then the hot yoga in and of itself has its own kind of philosophy and why we bring the heat in and that type of stuff. But what's unique, really, is that we do our own teacher training,
mm-hmm.
and everybody that works with us goes through that teacher training. And so when we say consistency is really at the heart of what we do, the only way to really create that level of consistency is to train the people how we want them to do things, which essentially is, you know, puts a form around it, which
right.
is great because you have to have a structure initially.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference then is that we don't hold to the form in the way that teachers can use their own individual expression. They have the music, they have the lights. Even though the sequencing is going to be the same, they really can create a unique feel in there, right? So
right.
we encourage that,
mm-hmm.
but staying with this structure, right?
Right.
And that structure is a therapeutic vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's the core of what we do. So, you know, I can't do jiu-jitsu without hot yoga anymore. I just have too many injuries. You know?
Yeah.
And that keeps me, I tell everybody, man, do this and you'll be able to do whatever it is you like to do. I don't tell people yoga is the end all. I mean, I do so many other things. I, you know, my brothers and myself, if there's good surf, we'd really rather do that than anything. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
And that's just where we are. That's what we did first. So, but it all works together.
Yeah.
You know? And so what are the differences really with what we do in other places? It's just style.
Uh-huh.
It's just form. It's just it's like martial arts. What does Top Game do differently from the other jiu-jitsu academy?
Right.
You know, how Chris teaches, the energy he brings in the academy, the camaraderie you feel, the, you know, when you walk in, it's not like, you know, feel like everybody's against you or they're just here for themselves. It's a real
right.
team feeling, you know.
Yeah.
We try to create that in yoga too, although it's you on your mat. It's your space. It's your time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a group energy and there's the feeling that goes on. And I don't care how nice our facilities are. They could be the worst facilities. If you've got great instruction, that's great.
Yeah,
you know,
certainly.
And that's
true.
That's the same way with martial arts. I've found too. You don't have to have all the best stuff. If you got good instruction, that's the number one thing. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely. We started with Chris, ET and I both around the same time. We're at an awesome facility right now. But when Chris was just starting out, you know, we went through some places that were, you know, okay, but
yeah.
not as nice
as here.
Transitional
places.
Yeah, transitional places in between finding places. And it never mattered. I didn't care.
Right.
You know,
what we were getting
yeah,
out of it, which is...
The instruction was top-notch.
Great.
And everybody was nice. Like you said, just a good vibe
right.
of the place.
That's what Gustav has always brought to the table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Always. I mean, just open book and man, any question you have, he's...
Oh, absolutely.
It's never a feeling of, you know, he's holding back or he, you know, he doesn't care about his students. I mean, he cares like nobody's business.
Yeah,
either.
Absolutely. Well, you have you certainly have great knowledge, really depth of yoga and jiu-jitsu. What are the benefits? I know you talked a little bit about you can't do jiu-jitsu without yoga. I can't either. And we've talked about that before. I found yoga through my wife who got into it a couple years ago, did a teacher training course, and I actually had an injury. And she was like, let me show you some sequences that will help with that. After 2 months of doing that, I never felt better.
Yeah.
You know, I do a sequence every day with going to
yeah.
Hot House when I can. So what are the benefits? Why should jiu-jitsu guys do yoga?
Well, first of all, you know, you need the mental strength
uh-huh.
in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And yoga gives you that mental strength, too, you
mm-hmm.
know, because... it's about focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
You teach yourself how to focus and also breathe. And so the focus, the breath control. I mean, when you find yourself being smashed by someone, you're underneath someone, you better figure out what it is to find your breath, you know, and not panic. And yoga, when you're holding postures and you're sweating like crazy and you're like, can I do this anymore? And you're just, you mentally commit, right?
Right.
That type of strength you develop in yoga mental strength will help you tremendously in jiu-jitsu, you know, just to be able to stay relaxed and calm and find your breath, right? Big, big part of it. Now, obviously the flexibility that you can gain, the, you know, the ability to have your subtlety in your muscles, you know, the body awareness. I mean, forget it. When you walk into yoga, most people don't know what's below their head, you know, and you're just asking them to do simple things and identify with their body and move your body in simple ways. But to see people have no clue, that's the consistency you need to understand yourself, right? Understand your body and have that type of muscle and body awareness. Now, you guys know in jiu-jitsu, when you're on the mat with somebody, you have to have the awareness of every part of your body, then also every part of somebody else's body.
Right.
Where are you going? What are you doing? What's happening, right? You create that awareness in yoga. 100% create that awareness of yourself, you know? And then jiu-jitsu, you can do the exact same thing. So that's one of the ways that the two just go hand in hand, you know? It's really a powerful thing. They both benefit each other. But it's hard for guys, especially, to get into yoga initially.
Yeah.
When they initially do, or when they start getting into it, they feel the benefits right away. They really, you begin to understand immediately, okay, I can see how this will help me, you know. So
yeah, I tell people with yoga and jiu-jitsu, give it a month.
Right.
Give it a month. If you don't like it after a month, then hey, I'm
then
wrong.
Fine.
I'm
Try
wrong.
It out.
But
right. Yeah, it's not for you then.
Yeah, but give it a shot. I was listening to another jiu-jitsu related podcast the other day, and they got into the topic of Carlos Gracie and the aspects of jiu-jitsu that he practiced and taught outside of what you normally see most of the time in schools. It really boiled down to a underlying philosophy, health, mindset, hygiene were some of the top things, along with, you know, just some other philosophical aspects of it. And I wanted to ask if you could touch on that, because I know there's components of that in yoga also. You know, there's a little, once you start to get into it a little bit, you learn that, you know, there's philosophical aspects of it outside of the school once you leave. I want to see if you could touch on that a little bit, if that question makes sense.
Well, so just to make sure I'm understanding, you know, there is the physical aspect of yoga, and then there is mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, what that really means for you. That's a very individual thing. But what I know for sure is that when you practice consistently, you take so much out in the world with you. Your own understanding, your own awareness, you know, the ability to say, hey, you know what, let me just stop and take a couple deep breaths. You know, you can do that anywhere. It doesn't have to be in yoga. It can be driving down the road. You practice regularly, you're going to respond differently to situations. If somebody cuts you off in traffic where you might want to ride up next to him, glare at the person, you know, whatever your gesture might be to them. But if you practice yoga regularly, your mindset's going to be different. You're not going to care that it's somebody else's problem. It's not yours. You don't have to make it your, you know, your problem. And so I think that off the mat, off the jiu-jitsu mat as well, the same thing happens. When you're in here, when you're in your jiu-jitsu academy and you're grappling and you're like fighting for your life, you don't want this guy to get your arm, choke you out. You know, you're, when you walk out of here, you don't have the desire to be confrontational. Right.
That's true.
You walk out of the yoga mat, you don't have the desire to be confrontational. You're doing the work already. You're discovering about yourself and what it really means to just try to be calm in situations. So how does that reflect, you know, leaving the yoga studio, leaving the jiu-jitsu studio academy? The same things happen mentally, you know. You take yourself from the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight or flight, you know, the I'm at the starting line in a perpetual, you know, ready to go mode, you know. And when you walk out of the yoga studio or the jiu-jitsu academy, you can find that you're now in the parasympathetic nervous state. And this is all science. This isn't like hocus pocus, right?
This is what this
does for you. It takes you to a place where your nervous system is now more centered and more calm. It's the ability to relax.
Yeah.
Right? The ability just to sit still and be still with yourself and be okay with that. And yoga and jiu-jitsu, surfing too, will give you that feeling. At the end, you're spent. You don't have anything else to give anybody else. You just have to be happy with yourself.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, if that answers it, that's a mouthful, but I think it helps.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what I was asking and wanting you to hit on. And, I haven't met, I'm sure they're out there, maybe a few that I have met, but there are very few jerks in jiu-jitsu or yoga. And I've met a lot of guys and girls who practice.
And we've seen a lot of people come in to the jiu-jitsu academy and their character change in time. And you've probably seen that through yoga as well.
Yeah. Totally.
There's more attitude and ego in surfing than anything I've ever seen. You paddle out in the water and there's a lot of localism. I don't care where you go. And, the yoga and the jiu-jitsu give you the ability just to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't need your energy. I don't care. Do your thing. Yeah. And so surfers probably need yoga and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They probably need it. Everybody needs yoga, that's for sure.
Well, right. There's a cultural crossover between surfing and jiu-jitsu, and that's another thing we wanted to talk to you about. Yeah. I'm trying to figure this out because I don't surf. It's something I'd love to learn. And me and Aaron have been talking about this. What are the similarities between jiu-jitsu and surfing?
It's an individual thing, right? A lot of people that surf, they're not doing team sports.
All right.
If you do jiu-jitsu, maybe you weren't on the football team or the basketball team. You may have been a wrestler or something else that was more individual, musician or something, not everybody team sports aren't for everybody,
Right.
And the surfing is one of those things that is a very individual thing. Mm-hmm. Yoga can be a very individual thing. Jiu-jitsu can be a very individual thing. You get the same feelings from it. I think the same personality types enjoy those type of things, Gustavo surfs and he does yoga with us and his wife does yoga with us. And obviously he's got the jiu-jitsu, but he's an excellent surfer too. It's the same type of thing. It's like, it's almost an escape sometimes. You can just put everything else behind you, and go paddle out in the water, whether you have a great day or bad day, the surf's good or bad. Being in the ocean, being in the water is a real calming. It's, again, something that can take you from that sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic. It has a way of relaxing you and calming you, allowing you to be still with yourself. It's really, ultimately, I think what's very important for all of us, especially in this day and age.
Well, how did you get into surfing? Tell us about that a little bit.
I grew up in Virginia Beach, and I started surfing really young, but then my parents moved us probably about 5 miles from the beach, and so I started skateboarding. I didn't have a way to get to the beach. I had a skateboard ramp, you get home from school and there were 20 cars on the street. The bus couldn't get through. Everybody was in my backyard at that point. We had a trampoline, we were jumping off the roof with skateboards. So when I got back into the water again, it was probably like 16. I had a lot of injuries skateboarding young, and I didn't want to hit the ground anymore, So I started surfing again, and I've always loved it, And I started, when I first got back in the water, I was bodyboarding, but I wanted to stand up right away because I was skateboarding, so that was it, And I would go with my brother, John, all the time. We'd go to Hatteras a lot. And he'd skip school all the time.
Yeah.
And I'd encourage him.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd go surf. And John is he's an excellent martial artist and surfer. Yeah. And obviously a yoga practitioner as well. My brothers are phenomenal and my inspiration for sure.
Are they?
Both of them, yeah. I mean, when I moved back from Florida in 99, they were already doing martial arts, Taekwondo style.
Uh-huh.
And we all got our black belts in Taekwondo and realized right away, great for focus and discipline and that type of thing. But for kind of like self-preservation, if you really want to protect yourself, we got involved with, again, Paul Bunak and his style and system. We were like, oh yeah, here's something that you can really apply,
right.
Really take care of yourself. So
yeah.
And how many brothers do you have?
Two.
And both brown belts, and you're a black belt.
Yeah,
now,
and they're like right on the cusp too. This is the first time in all of our martial arts that I actually advanced ahead of them.
Oh
yeah.
No!
They were always a step
ahead
of
after you.
They're always ahead of me a little bit. One belt, a couple stripes, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Always. So this was the one thing. They're they got so much going on the yoga side that they weren't able to train as much. But of course, as soon as I got my black belt,
about a target on your back.
They end up back on the mat. Now they're very close to getting their black belts too, so that's super exciting.
They're so close to Gustavo's studio. I mean, it's just literally you walk out of the yoga studio door and right into Gustavo's.
And they're very technical, my brothers too. I mean, on a bad day, they can probably take me.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm that's fine with me.
Have you rolled with them since you got your black belt?
Well, Chris, you know, he was here that day, and then he bent his finger back in the first, like, 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I rolled with John at Gustavo's about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was the last time I was on the mat.
So. Yeah.
And so, you know, he's a little rusty, and I'm not so much, so.
Yeah.
He didn't get me at all, but I didn't get him either.
Yeah.
But I was close. I was close a bunch.
So. How often do you get down to Virginia Beach to surf now and all that? Are you going back and forth still? Or
I'm going back and forth for work
move?
More,
yeah.
You know, just with the yoga. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We want to open up another studio on the south side of Richmond.
Oh.
And we're going to probably have that happening. Hopefully by October it'll be open.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that happening. Surfing, I'm probably going to go to Nicaragua in the next couple months.
What? Really?
For like 10 days.
Yeah.
Nice.
And just take a little vacation. But my surfing isn't really around Virginia Beach. Obviously, I'm in Richmond now, so
yeah.
I'll just travel if I can and surf. And I got a long skateboard. It keeps your surfing muscle memory alive. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I do that.
Yeah.
So,
how many classes do you think you get in of yoga per week or per day?
Per week, probably 5 right now,
yeah.
Maybe 6. I try to do one class a day if I can.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm right there, so I don't really have to schedule if I'm there and the opportunity's there. I can just jump in. We've got a lot of new teachers coming up, too,
yeah.
So it's important to take their classes and continue their education and give them encouragement.
My question for you is, you know, I think I was telling you earlier, you've got your passion, just surfing and jiu-jitsu and, you know, yoga, and you're making a business out of yoga. So you've got 3 things that you love that you put a lot of time and energy into, and I really admire that because I hate my job. Medical sales, nothing cool about
that. I did medical sales.
Did you really?
Yeah,
you know it's nothing cool about that.
It's a lot of self-motivation. You know?
Yeah, and it's not great, but I forgot where I was going except complimenting him. So how do you...
My passions.
Right, well, how do you keep running the studio and loving yoga? Because if you do something and you turn into a business, a lot of times you have to
hire good people.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, you really have to train people and you bring people on board that share the same passions.
Right.
And, you know, they allow you to continue. For us, you know, they allow the people that work with us allow us to, my brothers and myself, to continue to get involved with more things and want to do more things. I mean, since I was a kid, I've always had the desire to help my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad wasn't around a lot. So, you know, what can we do to, you know, make things better? I mean, we were on welfare growing up, you know,
right.
and it wasn't bad by any means.
Right.
But you don't know different.
Yeah.
But you start to look around and go, wow, there could be more out there. We could do more. And so I got a business degree. I didn't know what I was going to do with it, but I started had vending and catering carts on the boardwalk in Virginia Beach and did a lot of festivals. And my brothers and sisters, that was their first job working with me.
Oh, that's cool.
Very self-motivated guys.
Yeah, but good friends, too. Our partner, this guy Michael, has been one of my best friends. We've known each other since elementary school. And so he's really, he's got a business mind as well and a financial mind as well. And so he really works with the numbers a lot. We're always analyzing our information constantly and what can we do and how can we make this better. And then I can get on the building side and managing side, and my brothers and sisters are on the educational side. So we all work together and have our responsibilities, which allows all of us to continue to do the things we love. Right?
Right.
I definitely can't do it all,
sure.
And nor do I want to. And
yeah.
I love the side that I'm on. I love the creative, the building. I love opening up the new places, and the energy that brings is phenomenal, you know. And to watch people change their lives. I mean, what we're doing is helping people, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than to be of service and to see people changing their lives and coming in, even a week, even, you know, a month, just talking about them getting off their medications and getting out of depressions and having better relationships with their loved ones. I mean, these are the things we're doing, right? Jiu-Jitsu does the same thing.
Right.
You walk out of here, you know, and you just feel better about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes a little frustrated.
Right.
But overall, you know, you're doing something for yourself that will transcend to your relationships with other people.
Yeah.
And help you mentally, you know, figure your own stuff out.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it all. I mean, I love it. I love it that way. And I hope we can continue to do it.
Yeah.
You have great teachers and people that help run the studios every day. And you know, I can not put myself in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. In the middle of the business. I have to be on the outside in order to continue to grow and change, sure. evolve, and analyze, you know. So that's kind of what we're doing, you know. It's a family effort, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, again, 7 brothers and sisters and their siblings and their mother and father. Everyone's involved to some degree. It's really amazing. That's what makes it work.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the secret sauce, if you had to ask what that was.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, a nice build-out, great air quality systems. None of that has anything to do with it. It's how you treat people.
Right. You know? Yeah. And you're always out there before class and after class,
greeting everybody,
shaking hands, and it's a great atmosphere.
Open the door for people, you know.
Yeah.
And now that we're getting ready to look into this other location, I step away from that a little bit. I have to now let the studio do its thing without me there.
Yeah,
it has to. I have to know that it can work without my face and
can't
my
be
presence.
Be at 2 places at
know?
One time, in the same
and
city.
It's doing it. It's doing it, no problem. Yeah. But that's because the consistency of the people and the teachers and the passion they have and family environment we create and encouraging right. atmosphere we create.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to add another cool topic. You sent us 3 pictures. And I'd like to talk about those. 2 are related, but 1, going back to the surfing, is one of you surfing. Tell us a little bit about that picture, where you're at, and I think it's an interesting story.
We're going to put that on the blog. So
yeah,
yeah, yeah, that is that's a Troncones, Mexico. North of Acapulco, about 100 miles. I went there on my honeymoon, and then I went back a few years, too. This particular picture was, it's probably been 4 years ago, and that's in a place called Manzanilla,
uh-huh.
which is at kind of the end of the road in Troncones, and it's this cove. It's this left-hand point break, mm-hmm. and that day was 10, 15 feet sets, but the great thing about those points is that you can paddle around. It's not like you have to paddle through all that every time, so you know you get over to one side and you can paddle out to channel, and then you're on the outside again. You can wait,
right.
But I went on that trip and I didn't really have the right board, I felt, and so Gustavo had one and he gave me that board. So that picture, I'm riding Gustavo's surfboard.
That's very cool.
So yeah. That's pretty cool,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh my God, look at that! it's real waves, you know."
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. And so that was that, you know. Traveling and surfing is awesome because you do nothing but. That's
right.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was a good time.
And then there's 2 others, which without any knowledge, guys, you got to check these pictures out. I mean, just if you stumbled across these on the internet, they're awesome pictures. And we'll post both up on the website, too. But tell us about these 2 pictures, who they are, and what's going on there. This is a great
story. So the guy, if you're looking at the picture on the right side, laying on the ground, that's my great-grandfather, Hans Bennett. And he was part of a grappling club in Germany, like pre-World War I. This picture is probably like 1915.
Right.
And so... You know, my grandmother always said, your great-grandfather, or my father, he used to wrestle too, but nothing like what you see on TV. And she was comparing it to, like, you know,
WWF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but, and she happened to have that picture and gave that to us. So it's really, really cool to see, you know, these guys in their grappling outfits and all the trophies. And, I mean, you can really tell that they were into it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also what's really neat is you see... right next to my great-grandfather's head is the kettlebells.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so, and most people realize that those things have been around for a long, long time, but they really are coming back into popularity as mm-hmm. a functional workout.
And in the States, they're really starting to make a headway.
Yeah.
In gyms.
Yeah. So it's neat that, you know, here we are almost 100 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and we're involved in grappling, jiu-jitsu in this form, you know,
yeah.
But there's definitely lineage somewhere that the same mechanics and the type of moves and things they were doing got to be similar to the no-gi stuff. You know, I mean, again, I always say there's no new knowledge. It's all packaged differently and talked about differently, but the same stuff's been around for thousands of years. You know?
Yeah.
So who knows where their lineage came from, but it would be really cool to try to find out.
It would be, and there's a bunch of guys in the group picture, and they're all in singlets. Early version, which looks like a wrestling singlet.
Yeah, they all look incredibly strong too.
These guys use the kettlebells and grapple, man. I mean,
you can tell,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're any of them walking in today, man, right. Roll with that guy.
Right.
So this is a really cool picture. So guys, if you got to the podcast without going on the website, please go check both those out. They're really, really neat pictures with no story behind it. They're just cool to look at. They're great.
Right.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. So what's on the horizon for you in jiu-jitsu? I mean, what are you thinking about now? I know every time we talk, you're like, I just want to keep training. But do you have a tournament you're thinking about, or is there?
I've got no, right now, just love to be on the mat, and just want to continue to do that, try to stay injury-free.
Yeah.
And, continue to help other people grow and fall in love with this stuff. And, I particularly love helping brand-new people, even in yoga. And then jiu-jitsu, because that aha moment that they find that, that you can help encourage, they find a passion. I love to share my passions, right?
Yeah.
And when you can see that happening for someone else, that's the best feeling ever, So for me, will I compete? Probably, the opportunity presents itself and my preparedness, there's no luck. It's opportunity and preparedness after me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of felt that way in my last tournament that was an in-house tournament at Gustavo's. He called me the night before and asked if I wanted to fight in the in-house super fight, essentially, right, against Mark Saucer. And Mark and I have been buddies. When my brothers and I tore this house down we grew up in and rebuilt it, he was one that came over and did a lot of concrete work, and we were talking to him. And he's a Golden Gloves boxer, And so then he started getting into jiu-jitsu at Gustavo's. So we kind of came up at the same time. We were always rivals. But he's had my number for a long time, so it was neat that day that things changed and I was able to come out on top of that one. And then Gordo was here the next week, and so Gustavo was gracious enough to give Mark and myself and a couple other guys their black belts.
Is Mark running his own school now?
Mark has an academy in Norfolk.
Yeah.
And so, he's on the mat every day.
Yeah.
Doing his thing. So.
Mark's no joke.
He's no joke.
No,
we'll have to post that match of you and him on our blog. Because I know it's up on YouTube. I've watched it.
Yeah.
It's a good fight.
Yeah, it's a good fight. Yeah. You never want to let Mark get too close to you.
No.
So if you can see in that match, I stood back up a lot. And I kept my distance a lot. And I tried not to let him get real close. And that was probably the best strategy I could use against him. Because if I tried to pull him in my guard and try to stay tight with him or tight in the half guard or something, he's too dominant there.
Yeah.
But he was frustrated, with me a little bit, standing up and staying away.
Yeah.
And he had some other thoughts in his mind about things he'd been practicing and doing.
Jiu-jitsu.
It's just jiu-jitsu, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just my day that day.
So what's next? What's on the, what's up with Hot House? What's next for you guys in the business? I know you're planning on opening up a new school you just talked about. Anything else? And that's enough. But.
That's a lot. That's really kind of our focus.
Sure.
We want to continue the educational side, which is super important because if we don't create and develop good teachers, it doesn't matter about the bricks and mortar. I can't have the building without the people to work in there and do the right thing. So we're really investing a lot in our education.
Yeah.
You got your instructor's certificate, your instructor's courses going.
Yeah, yeah. We have a, ongoing 500-level teacher training, 200-hour level teacher training, continuing education, workshops, all those kind of things to continue to develop the teachers. And then we always looked at Richmond as maybe two or possibly three studio market, but then there's a good chance I might end up in Northern Virginia, the surrounding D.C., Maryland areas, and doing some things there. I think the next 5 years, our family, our goal is to maybe have 10, 12 studios.
Wow.
That we can manage as a family.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of what's on our radar. And the timing's really good for it. And we have the people, and thankfully my wife is willing to move with me. And
frequently, probably.
Yeah. Maybe every couple years, if that's the case, for the next 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And then just try to settle in. to it, you know, and then for myself, start teaching more after we get this thing to a certain point. Because I don't teach a lot right now. Right. Every once in a while, I'll step in needed, and my skill set isn't really there as much as the rest of my family's. I've been involved in other aspects of it. So.
Yeah.
You're talking down the road. Where are you retiring to, Jimmy? It's got to be someplace near a beach.
Well, it's got to be. We'll see what Hot House does. I mean, I'll probably end up back in Virginia Beach if the things keep moving the way they do, although I'd like to be a little further south and then have some vacation place somewhere in Costa Rica or Mexico. I don't know. My brother's wife's from Mexico, and she surfs also. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it. You know. Awesome. Short-term goals, long-term goals. You know, short-term, we'll get some studios going and travel, surf, and still do jiu-jitsu, wherever that means. You know.
Yeah. Well, luckily, jiu-jitsu is growing so much now. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Anywhere you go.
But, you know, I'm partial to Gustavo Academies and what that means.
Yeah.
And those guys, for sure. But, you know, doesn't mean I wouldn't go other places and see what's out there.
It's a stroke of luck that we're here, and when you decided to come into the Richmond market, because this works out so great for us, because you're part of our family.
Yeah, right away. It's like, you know, for me, I mean, I don't really know people here, but to have you guys here has been awesome. I know I haven't been in enough, but still, to know that it's here and that you guys are here.
Well, E.T. and I dreamed this blog and podcast up in the parking lot of Top Game Academy. It was right when you were coming here and getting Hot House going, and we said, you know, it'd be great, because it came about, we always would sit around after open mats and just talk.
Right.
I'm like, man, we should do a podcast of these, because we're a couple guys. We always talk about cool stuff. And we said, you know, we'd love to have one. We have some, you know, common interests, obviously, jiu-jitsu and then, you know, surfing and yoga. And you were one of the first guys we talked about having one. So it was a real honor to have you.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's an honor for me to be here with you all, for sure.
We really appreciate it. And if you're in any of the areas where there's a Hot House yoga, I can't recommend it. Great facilities, great teachers.
Give us your website.
It's hothouseyogi.com. Mm-hmm. HothouseYogi. Hothouseyogi.com. And you can find us there.
All the locations and then all the schedules.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of good information about what we're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And then come check it out.
Yeah.
And get involved with it, you know, and give it a shot. That's all I can say for everybody is just try it. You know, it's an hour of your life, and you just do an hour class.
Yeah.
And open your eyes up to something new. You know,
guys.
See what it can do for you.
If you do jiu-jitsu, give, like I say to everybody, like I started off, try it for a month, a couple times a week. I don't think you'll be sorry.
No.
I think it's only helped me, and I don't know that I could be on the mats as much as I am without it. So.
Right. Well, again, I give our address at the end of every podcast. It's jujitsugeeks@gmail.com. Drop us a line. If you listen to this and you're not going through the blog, please go to jujitsugeeks.com, and you can see some of our posts, or you can see the pictures that we just talked about with Jimmy. We're going to put those up. And that's all I got. Jimmy, thank you so much for coming in, man.
It's my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Thanks,
anytime.
Jimmy. It really is an honor.
Be back on the mat with you guys real soon.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I'm E.T.
Aaron. Till next time, guys.
Take care. The mirror is not